Christopher Campeau, Associate Professor at the University of Toronto Faculty of Medicine, Division of Thoracic Surgery, Department of Surgery, presents an overview of pectus evacuatum. Dr. Campeau spoke at the 2015 Toronto Thoracic Refresher, sponsored by the University of Toronto Faculty of Medicine. Dr. Campeau.
I'd like to review the pathogenesis and pathophysiology of pectus excavatum and chest wall deformities, discuss the surgical indications for these, and review the surgical reconstructive options. So this is the standard bowl-shaped deformity of the pectus excavatum. This is the most common congenital malformation of the chest wall that we see, accounting for more than 90% of cases. There is a male predominance reported of 4-1, 10 pectus excavatum cases for every one carinatum, which is the next most frequent abnormality. There is a clear associated family history, and cardiac and musculoskeletal abnormalities, the most common of which are scoliosis. The pathophysiology of this condition relates to the indrawing of costal cartilages. Often thought it's sort of a cruel reality that this abnormality is accentuated during puberty when young children are arguably most self-conscious of their appearance. Symptoms on presentation: shortness of breath, reduced exercise tolerance, chest discomfort. Reality is that most patients actually are bothered by the psychosocial impact of this depression. Somewhat controversial as to whether or not pectus excavatum does impart any impairment of heart or lung function. And this is born out of the fact that patients often report decreased stamina. However, there's often no objective evidence of any abnormality. And there are some historically conflicting reports with regards to the response to surgical repair. It's a study that was reported in Chest many years ago now by Malik and colleagues, addressing the question of whether pectus excavatum does actually bring with it a cardiorespiratory impairment. 21 patients with pectus excavatum of varying degrees, all of whom were physically active. They underwent pulmonary function testing and incremental exercise testing to exhaustion, so they were worked hard. Their values were compared to standard reference values based on these demographics. As far as pulmonary function parameters, it was a bit of a wash. There were some parameters, as you see, that were less than reference, but others that were unchanged. But what was really found to be abnormal was VO2 max, which was significantly less than reference, as well as the overall metabolic threshold for lactate accumulation, which was 41% with reference. The conclusion of the authors was that pectus excavatum is associated with cardiopulmonary abnormalities, but these are less ventilatory and more cardiovascular in origin. Maygard published in the Annals in 2013 a study which would support the fact that surgery does help to reverse the cardiac and pulmonary abnormalities. 49 patients and 26 controls were studied prospectively during preoperative 1 and 3 years post-op as well, using a bicycle exercise test, echocardiography and spirometry were performed at rest, and cardiac output, heart rate, aerobic exercise were measured using a photoacoustic gas rebreathing technique. They found that the ventilatory parameters, which on average were 86% of controls preoperatively, normalized at 1 year, and the cardiac parameters normalized at 3 years when compared to control. So clearly surgery made a difference. The question of quality of life is not disputed. I mean, this surgery has an impact on the self-esteem of patients who undergo repair. This is a Journal of Pediatric Surgery publication that looked at 19 children who had quality of life questionnaires administered 6 and 12 months following surgery. There were significant improvements in body image in this group, including reported exercise tolerance and shortness of breath. Confirms that there is clearly a positive impact on well-being, and subsequent study reported by Hadolt indicates that this improvement in self-esteem is sustainable when looked at a 4-year follow-up of 17 patients. So what are the indications for pectus excavatum surgery? This is Nuss's group that published in the Annals a 21-year experience with the Nuss repair. And in that article, their indications for surgery reported as patients were symptomatic and had two or more of the following objective parameters: a pectus severity index more than 3.25. So essentially, they're saying they do have pectus excavatum. Cardiac or pulmonary compression on CT or echo, which admittedly is not hard to find in these patients, and mitral valve prolapse, arrhythmia, or restrictive lung disease. I find that when I see a young patient who's entertaining pectus surgery, the most critical question to ask really is, what is the motivation for surgery? Not uncommonly, these people come with a litany of symptoms, but many of them, I believe, feel the need to validate a desire to have surgery by having complaints of exercise limitation. But the reality is, OHIP pays in our province for this surgery. You don't really need to have corroborating physiologic evidence to support, as perhaps in some independent payers systems in the United States. So not liking the appearance of your chest here is enough. And in fact, some of the literature published would support the fact that psychosocial reasons are first and foremost as indications for repair, as this Davis report in the Annals in 2004. This is why Al Hanna's publication of our experience from St. Joe's in 2013 published in the Annals, and 89% of our patients underwent surgery. They were asymptomatic. They simply did not like the appearance of their chest. Of the patients who underwent surgery who were symptomatic, half complained of either shortness of breath or limited exercise tolerance. In Wyall's paper, the evidence postoperatively, the quality of life questionnaire did interestingly support the fact that 50% of these patients noted an increase in exercise capacity, even though the majority were having surgery purely for cosmetic reasons. So what are the surgical options? Well, the tried and true technique is the modified Ravitch approach. A sub-inframammary or sternal incision is made and sub-perichondrial resection of cartilages peristernally. It's very important to maintain that perichondrium, as we'll see. A wedge osteotomy in the anterior table of the sternum is made. It's important. You can see we're using the oscillating saw here. It's important to preserve the posterior table to prevent a step deformity. This allows the sternum to swing forward where a posterior metal strut can be fixed to achieve the desired effect. So the pros and cons of this technique. The pros are actually, it gives an excellent contour. This was a 35-year-old patient of mine who underwent a Ravitch repair and was quite happy with the result. It is a painful operation, although I think most reports would suggest that the NUS procedure is actually more painful. There can be unpredictable, irregular knuckles of cartilage that grow out of the perichondrial beds and need revision. There is an anterior scar, which is cosmetically perhaps less attractive, but definitely, I think the one downside of the Ravitch approach that, in my mind, makes the NUS procedure the go-to option is the potential for a non-union and chest instability if that perichondrium does not produce a solid regrowth of cartilage to the sternum. This is Donald Nuss, as many of you may know. He's a pediatric surgeon who retired, I believe, 2 years ago. I worked in Virginia. And this was his publication in Journal of Pediatric Surgery in 1998, which really revolutionized the treatment of pectus excavatum. He chronicled a 10-year institutional experience with this NUDEC technique, which has become euphemistically known as the Nuss procedure. The main elements of the operation, fairly inconspicuous subaxillary incisions are made using thoracoscopic guidance. This tunneling device is passed substernally with care not to injure the pericardium. It's delivered out the contralateral axillary incision. And really with elevation of this tunneling device, the pectus deformity is reduced almost immediately. Using umbilical tape, we then retrieve the tunneling device and affix a custom molded and shaped NUS bar, which is passed in a concave fashion into the chest and then flipped into place and secured with, some people use a wire suture. In our case, we use sternal wire. Just a note about social media. I mean, of all the operations I do, I'm forever amazed at actually the number of people that come to see me. These tend to be young and fairly tech savvy people. They know everything about me. They know the number of operations I've performed, what the results are. In some cases, they've participated in chat room discussions with former patients of mine. And so they come educated and they come really knowing what they want from you. I mean, Nuss is a pediatric surgeon, and so there was some uncertainty initially as to whether or not his technology could be extrapolated to the adult population. Concerns about the rigidity of the adult chest wall, higher pain, higher recurrence rates, bar displacements. Of course, keeping in mind the fact that there is an element of danger with this operation, there are case reports in the world literature of cardiac perforation and even death. Again, this is demographic profile of our patients that were published in the Annals with Dr. Hanna. I think informed consent begins and ends really with a description of pain in the immediate postoperative period. 90% of our patients find either very severe or severe pain, and we use exclusively thoracic epidural catheters in all of them for the first 3 days. but they get over that pain. And at six-month follow-up, few people had any lingering symptoms. Perioperative outcomes, some of these related to learned experience early on, specifically the bar displacement in two patients whose bars flipped. We have since made modifications to help improve stability. Poor cosmesis reported in two people who the bars were subsequently removed in. The social impact, you can see the pre- and post-operative change. I mean, patients who were self-conscious and insecure felt either slightly or not impacted at all with regards to their pectus deformity. And this is borne out with patient satisfaction, both in improvement in outcome. And I think the most telling indicator of satisfaction in this particular series were when the patients who responded to the questionnaire were asked if they would have the operation done over again if they had the opportunity, 96% said yes. So what are the, I put relative contraindications, because this is certainly my opinion, may not be shared by all surgeons who do this operation, but mixed excavatum and keratinatum deformities, I think, are best addressed with the modified Ravitch approach and not the NUS procedure. Along the same lines, asymmetric pectus depressions are, I believe, better served in general with the Ravitch approach. Long, broad pectus depressions, one of the modifications to the NUS procedure in the last 2 years is that we are using shorter bars. And so the concern initially that more superiorly placed bars would impinge on the chest, on the XLA, I should say, are less of a concern. So this is a soft relative indication. And the excessively rigid sternum, Dr. Nuss refers to the horns of steer deformity, which is hard to really describe, but it's essentially a chest that sort of feels like a cement block. And invariably, these are ones that do not mold outwards and produce the desired contour. So bottom line is that Nuss procedure is, I believe, a go-to operation, but it's certainly not meant for everyone. This scenario perhaps will address that issue a little bit further. This is a 20-year-old fellow who was referred having undergone a Ravitch procedure at Sick Children's Hospital in Toronto. He was unhappy with the results, and I think you can see on the lateral view that he actually had a fairly deep residual pectus depression. He was operated on by a surgeon who he went through sort of a period where they chose not to put substernal supports following a Ravitch approach. And I've actually seen several patients from SickKids who have had similar cosmetically unsatisfactory results. So we thought we would try the NUS procedure in him, and we found intraoperatively that the ossified anterior sternum would not bend out. And over a period of several days, the NUS bar migrated upwards. He was in a lot of pain and understandably unhappy with the end result. We debated what to do, and we ended up taking him back to the OR and taking out the NUS bar and redoing a Ravitch procedure. And I think you can appreciate on the lateral, the flattening contour of the anterior chest. And he was quite happy with the result. And a year and a half after this, that substernal plate was removed and he's fine. Addressing the issue of revision pectus, John Young recently presented our experience at the ESTS, and this was a pooled experience with the University of São Paulo and Dr. DeCampos, no relation. This was 350 collective operations at both centers, all of them male, 17 revision cases. The initial operation was Ravitch in 11 and NUS in 6. And the subsequent operation, NUS after Ravitch in 11, Ravitch after NUS in 5, and Ravitch after NUS after Ravitch was the case, which was the case that I presented in the one patient. The complication rate and length of stay were no different than a age-adjusted control group. When we look at complications, adhesions, perhaps not surprisingly, all in the group of NUS after Ravitch procedure. The one case of the bar migration, as I highlighted, subsequently underwent a Ravitch procedure. Hematoma, pain and wound infection, elements of what we typically see after a NUS procedure or pectus surgery. This subset of our group from two different health centers has satisfaction numbers that are remarkably similar to the cohort from Toronto, and that is 94% were happy enough that they would undergo the pain and suffering again to achieve the end result. So in summary, pectus excavatum is a common congenital deformity, and most patients present with real symptoms. Most patients are able to be successfully repaired with a NUS procedure by an experienced surgeon. When a NUS procedure is not feasible, the modified Ravitch is an excellent alternative. And finally, chest wall reconstructive surgeons should be comfortable with all operative techniques for pectus excavatum repair.
Thank you, Dr. Campeau. For information about the next Toronto Thoracic Refresher, visit torontothoracicrefresher.ca.